Hazme Arias.
What is going on, Boiler Nation? It is Tuesday night. It's March 24th, 2026. And the good news is we are not doing a postseason wrap-up episode tonight. No, 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 no. The Boilers are still dancing. They're dancing their way to San Jose to face the Texas Longhorns as they defeated Queens and then Miami, Florida to make their third Sweet 16 in the last 4 years, their seventh Sweet 16 appearance in the last 9 years, and we're not taking it for granted. We're enjoying every minute of it. I'm Tanner Lee, Evan Webb, Aaron Lynch are joining me. Fellas, how we doing?
Feeling pretty sweet. Feeling pretty sweet.
Can't beat it.
Aaron's feeling good about Purdue. Yeah. Maybe not good physically.
Yeah.
And he's rocking the White Sox hat for anybody listening that can't view it. So he's got that going for him this week, too.
I'm preserving my voice as much as I can.
Hopefully there's no yelling on opening day. I mean, first game of the season.
Oh, it's going to be a loss.
Who do they open with?
Brewers. At Milwaukee.
Yeah, that's pretty tough. Not going to lie.
Menikowski. I can't say that guy's last name. Is starting. They're going to lose.
But we'll save that conversation for another day. Another pod, another rabbit hole. But, what a fun week of basketball it was for Purdue. Took care of business. Wasn't always pretty at times, especially the second round game against Miami. But, I thought Brian Neubert of Golden Black Illustrated hit on the head. That was pretty similar to the Memphis game. But in this case, Purdue responded better than they did to the blows Memphis was throwing back in November.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't lose their minds, didn't let the physicality and lack of calls get to them like they did in that Memphis game that, you know, almost cost them that game. Like you said, it wasn't the prettiest, but they pulled it out. I mean, the senior leadership and just the experience thing definitely paid off in the end. And it was a heck of a game.
It definitely was, in regards to, I would say, experience paying off in this sense, but it was definitely their B minus C plus kind of game. Offensively, I mean, you had Trey and Fletcher playing awesome. I will say that first half defensively was horrendous. Second half, I can't say. I mean, it was better, but it wasn't much better. Closing out on open board, they did not close out on guys weak side on defensive boards. And they were getting offensive rebounds, which was disappointing to see, especially what we saw last week. But it's hard to play that kind of level, very consecutive, especially for this team, very consecutive games. Yeah. Unfortunately, they're going to need that if they want to go any further. This next weekend, or it's you know, the story's written, but still being written. Definitely good to see that they didn't, especially looking back to how Kentucky was in all the preseason crap about that practice scrimmage and what Kentucky was with those guards and how Kentucky played against Iowa State and how we played against athletic guards this weekend. It was definitely relief to see and glad to see that, you know, this definitely was a second weekend team, and there was no doubt about it throughout the season.
Yeah. You've been preaching that all year long, Lynch. Got to give it to you. So,
I mean, mostly if it's third weekend team.
Yeah. Hopefully. I mean, the good thing is, like you said, we probably played our, at best, B-minus game And Braden played probably a D game. And, you know, 3 weeks ago, if you had said Purdue plays a B minus game and Braden plays a D game, like, we're like, oh, we're not making out of, we might not win the first game. And so the fact that they were able to overcome his play, you know, obviously, like you said, credit to Fletch and TKR, CJ hit those three massive threes in a row to keep us from being down to halftime and really having to battle back. Jakari, you know, played in lieu of CJ really well. Clough had some good moments. Benter just worked his ass off out there. And really, everybody who played in some way for the most part. Omer got a little loose with the ball a little bit out there, but his time will come. But the fact that they were able to overcome a team like that, they were, it wasn't like a, you know, the Illinois game or the Michigan State game where they're playing well and they just lose because they're horrible defensively. Like, they didn't even play all that well, actually, outside of a few guys, and were still able to beat a pretty solid team.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't the best team in the ACC, but it wasn't definitely the worst team either. They definitely – Fletcher having probably an A game, I'll say that, A plus. That would be where I'd be putting it. If you were talking about Braden having that D game, like, that's the only way that we'd probably win is if Fletcher did have that kind of game. He did show up. I know he – Brian talked about him getting a lot of crap from Purdue fans throughout – his career, and it some of it, especially this year, maybe rightfully so, in the past, probably a little too hard on him, but he definitely showed up in the biggest moment when the team needed him, to punch his ticket to San Jose. Go ahead, Tanner, you would say something?
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, he's been nails the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's got his confidence back. I think the fans have confidence in him that whenever he's releasing the ball, think it's going in type of thing. He's playing good, pretty good defense for a guy who's not known for defense. He's hustling, getting big boards at times. Like, I think we have a handful of players playing their highest basketball of the season right now. I mean, TKR is a beast right now. Clough's been a beast. Braden, even with 8 turnovers, even though it should have been 7 because the ball didn't hit the out of bounds line that one time.
Yeah, that's stupid.
He still made some. I mean, his shot was off, but he still made some key free throws down the stretch. Still had good number of assists, like he always does. And he is the assist king now. We haven't even hit on that as of the Queen's game. He is the all-time leader in NCAA history in assists. Go get your shirt at theshopindy.com. Mine's on order. Don't know when it'll be here. But CJ Cox hitting those 3 threes in a row in the first half. I can't talk about that enough. Cameron Day on Facebook said, we're so back, never in doubt. Just like everybody in Boiler Nation. Had that thought, but and thank goodness it looks like CJ survived an injury scare, hyperextension. Haven't heard anything yesterday or today, so I think that's probably a good sign. But man, that was scary in the moment.
It was definitely there'd be swelling with that in regards to tears. His knee did buckle, so hopefully he's good to go and not limited. Hopefully he's not like wearing a sleeve or a brace. It's probably more than likely happening. Just given the fact that we got a 72-hour turnaround, they got to fly out west as well on it. So, you know, if there's a player you could deal with being limited minutes, it's probably him in this lineup. I'll say that.
Got a question here on Facebook from Mitch Melton, loyal listener and viewer of the pod. I want to know what Evan's drinking. It looks delicious.
This is a Guinness. I picked some up last week for our stream on St. Patrick's Day, and so looking just like for a one can, but like an 8-pack, and so I'm still kind of getting my way through it. But I love a Guinness.
Can be like a dessert in a glass at times, right?
It's not that heavy.
Before I forget, I got this up on my screen because I just saw it was posted 3 hours ago, but I just came across that maybe you guys have seen this. They released all the officials for Sweet 16 and Elite 8 games.
Oh, my God.
Not where they are. Not where they are, but Evan, any names you want me to look for?
Let me chuck this glass first. Obviously, public enemy number one is DJ Carstensen, and
he's Jeffrey on there.
Anderson. Yeah,
Jeffrey Anderson's on there. Courtney Green's on there.
Courtney Green is on there. Oh my god!
Yeah,
he was awful. That foul on Clough, where Clough caressed the guy's back, was an abomination.
Hopefully, that also, Houston.
Yeah, screwing over Illinois. Take it. Paul Sells, he's put his name stupid.
Yes, he is on there.
Oh my god. Tony Padilla, he was on our game on Sunday.
Pretty sure Tony what?
Padilla. Yeah.
I am not seeing. I'm seeing a Tony Chiazza and a Tony Henderson. Oh, there's Tony Padilla. Yep, three Tonys.
I'm forgetting. Forgetting the guy's name. He's a shorter ref. He's the guy who got into a staring contest with McCaffrey a couple years ago. What's his name? Just go through the names. Let's just go through them.
Pat Adams, Brian Dorsey, Byron Jarrett, Marquise Pettigrew, sucks. Jeff Anderson, Pat Driscoll, Keith Kimball, Mike Reed, Steve Anderson, Nathan Farrell, Kip Kissinger, Randy Richardson, Roger Ayers, John Gaffney, Bart Lennox, Owen Short, James Breeding, Courtney Green, Joe Lindsay, Doug Shows, DJ Carchinson, Michael Greenstein, Chance Moore, Doug Sermons, Lee Cassell, Ron Groover, Tommy Morrissey, Bert Smith, Tony Chiazza, Jeb Hartness, Greg Nixon, Paul Shells, or whatever you said Sells, earlier,
yeah.
Sells.
Yeah.
Bill Covington Jr., Tony Henderson, Brian O'Connell, Earl Walton, AJ Desaya, I believe that's how you pronounce that one, Michael Irving, Tony Padilla, and Brooks Wells.
Okay, I don't know if the guy
knows so no Toronto.
Wow, yeah, it's true. That's good. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Hopefully some of the guys we hate are in Houston screwing over Illinois.
It's funny how I only know four or five of those names. So
I said in our group chat, the Queens game, I didn't recognize any of the officials. I thought obviously it was a blow up. I thought they called a pretty fair game, and it's always nice if you don't know the officials.
Exactly. I mean, we can learn their names pretty fast. They can join our shit list fast.
Yeah. There's a few on there that I forgot about, the names I forgot about that they haven't done the Big Ten games in a while.
Yep. It seems like, I don't know, like the days of Jim Burr, TV Teddy, Ed Hightower, those days are kind of over. It seems like Gene Steratore, like where everybody knows certain officials. Now it's certain conferences know certain officials.
So. Yeah. So yeah, Courtney Green doesn't do the Big Ten anymore.
Thank God.
Yeah.
Dude needs to be investigated.
Purdue finally beat. I mean, Courtney Green had been pissed on Sunday because Purdue finally beat Fred the ref of the game because we hadn't done that and it felt like a millennium.
Yeah.
Much to his chagrin.
I don't know the other two officials. I don't remember their names from Sunday, but I thought there was another one that was pretty darn bad in our game.
Padilla was on that. Was on that call. That was when our buddy said that the SEC collectively hate him the most.
Yeah, but I lost it on that call on Oscar Clough on the dunk. I
completely
lost it.
Are you talking about the one where he had his left hand on his back?
It was a little contact, but it was like a touch, like not even a two-hand touch in football. I mean,
yeah, because compared to some stuff they were letting stuff go for a long time, which like, hey, if you're gonna do it, like
let it go. Yeah.
But then you call that, let it go is what it is. But yeah, they call that just touch, which you can also probably, I mean, on the flip side, I thought Trey had that and one in the second half.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was that much. But yeah, it was. I was glad just to get out of that game.
When's the last time Purdue shot that many free throws and shot at that high of percentage? I mean, I don't remember.
Don't remember. That was incredible. Especially Trey going the line, just making them. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and Oscar too. I'm the two guys. Well,
I never near the end. I think Clough had some shots that near the end that were kind of, he like he got one. I think it was kind of near the end. I think it was Clough.
He did miss one towards the end.
Yeah, but I was just like, he made one. I think he made one or two. I was like, oh god, like please make one at least.
Yeah,
just like it was like
I think we were up six when he got to the line.
Yeah,
and he made one to get
up. We were hoping
the other one would have made eight.
Yeah. We were hovering around that like 4 to 8 point lead and just trying to keep them at arm's length. But your credit Miami, I think Jai Lucas is going to be awesome.
They're going to be good.
The fact that he turned them around in that first year to get them to, I think they went to the semifinals in the ACC tournament. They handled Missouri in a hostile environment in St. Louis. I know your parents were there, Tan.
I still don't know how that happened. Like, it still bugs me that a 10 just gets rewarded in the backyard pretty much.
Yeah. They kind of handled Missouri, especially in the second half. Obviously, there's a couple of familiar faces that we saw with Trey Donaldson, formerly of Michigan, and obviously Malik Renew of Indiana. Thankfully, held him kind of in check. Because he has a potential to.
He's the same as he was at Indiana. Very skilled, but not consistent player.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. They've got a really good. They've got that Henderson kid. He's a stud if he sticks it with Miami, which I think
he's freshman. Is he the freshman?
Yeah.
I think he'll be in the NBA. I think
there's a lot of connections with him and Lucas. So I think he's probably there for the long haul. And Miami's got money.
They can pay him. Yeah, they can pay him.
Yeah, they got a future. I just like just listening to Lucas in the middle of the game, after the game, like he just seems like a smart dude. Just was the game. I could tell why guys like playing for him. And I wouldn't be surprised if they're, a 4 seed next year. It wouldn't shock me at all if they're 4 or better next year, especially with how the ACC is pretty weak. As it was shown this weekend with Virginia going down as a 3 seed, and obviously Miami too, as well. They're athletic. It was kind of the Purdue can't beat athletic teams, even though we beat a ton of them this year. But obviously gave Purdue some troubles, but the fact they were able to come through and hit timely shots. It kind of got the turnovers under control in the second half after having like 7 in the first half. It was just a good win despite not playing your best.
That narrative's so old to me. Like, Purdue's not going to be more athletic than a lot of teams, but it doesn't mean they can't beat these athletic teams. They've proven it time and time again. I mean, they're gonna have their doubters come Thursday as well because Texas will be more athletic than Purdue on paper. But you can mark down Seth Davis will pick Texas.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's all right.
I still can forget Sean Miller's there.
I know. I forget that all the time, too.
I just – is Archie on staff there?
No, he's just still at Rhode Island.
Okay.
Somehow. For now. Yeah.
Yeah. But I saw somebody say if – Carolina gets rid of Hubert Davis, that one of the names they should go after is Sean Miller. And I was like, you're a moron. There's so many better coaches to go after before you get to Sean Miller.
What if they go after Underwood?
Please.
I'd be okay with it.
I have no idea what direction they'll go.
He's not real technically relieved yet.
No, he's not. Davis. I saw I think Justin Jackson tweeted because I saw someone retweeted it in support of Hubert and just revamping the staff. I'm like, good luck.
It's gonna be whatever Roy Williams wants. That's the sad part. They're listening to a near 80-year-old guy who's in his 70s, and I don't know. I mean, he's a legend there. His name's on the court. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, come on, like. I mean, Katie's on our court, but if Matt was to retire tomorrow, you think we're going to let, God bless his soul, 89-year-old Gene Katie decide who to bring in as head coach? I don't think so.
Over Babinski, sure.
Mike's got to figure it out when it comes to basketball. I like
it. Because it was already established before he got there. Simple. He hasn't figured out. Let's look at the other side of the house right here.
He's got one job. Football. That's all he needs to be focused on. Let everybody else figure everything else out.
Get what? That.
Yes.
All right. I'm expelling too much energy at this point on this. I disagree wholeheartedly. I really have Gene pick the next coach versus even if it's Bruce Weber for an interim.
I mean, I'm pretty sure if Matt was to not want to coach anymore, I'm pretty sure PJ Thompson's probably the next guy, but even if he's not really ready. But Hopefully we don't have to worry about that for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
but one thing Purdue does have to, I guess, worry about in a sense is they see their old pal Cam Heide on the Texas team. Cam hit a humongous shot for Texas the other night. Only shot he took all game. Hit a corner three.
Have to be on the bench. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much identical shot to what he hit against Houston last year.
Yeah. I think, and after being on the bench for like 17 minutes or something like that, like he, yeah, Strong gave himself credit for putting him in and, yeah, and credit to Gann for being ready and yep, hit that shot.
Yep. I mean, we've seen teams like Texas get hot out of the first four. This isn't huge rarity. I mean, it happens every 3 to 4 years. I'd say somebody makes a little run. But Purdue's anywhere from 7.5 to 8.5 point favorite, depending what line you look at. I can't really consider Texas a Cinderella, even though they're 11 seed because it's Texas. They have, I mean, that athletic department has more money in some states, it feels like.
Yeah.
I'm halfway joking there. But I feel good. But I'm trying not to feel too overconfident as a fan. Like, I like the matchup.
Yeah, I do too. Go ahead.
I was going to say, the matchups are very favorable across the board in Purdue's favor.
Yeah, a lot better than Miami even. So
correct. And
yeah,
for this to be kind of the matchup and not getting A.J. DeBonza and BYU, not getting Gonzaga and – you know, a defensive Mark Few led team.
Mark Few's never going to get it done.
Probably not. His best bet was with Jalen Suggs.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, I don't think much could have dreamed of it last week being in that scenario, especially with this narrative they're going to play, especially with being CBS. It's a CBS game on Thursday with Heide playing his old team and stuff like this, and then being a national title run back in 2024. I think, is it their best player is like Salen, right?
That was Swain.
His name, right? Swain.
Yeah, he's 6'8". He's, I mean, NBA body.
Yeah, body.
They got length. They got length in the front court for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, he averages 17. Their center, who's a 7-footer, averages 15. He's pretty solid, although he can't, at least the game I saw, I can't remember, I think it was our first round game, or maybe the first four game, I don't remember, where he was missing. He was good the game, except for, like, he missed, like, 8 free throws in a row.
Yeah.
You got Tremont Mark. He's one of their guards. He's 6'5". Jordan Pope is their guard, 6'1". They've got a kid, Chendall Weaver, 6'3". He's a good guard. He's hustles. He plays really hard. Yeah, I mean, obviously it'd be tough. Simeon Wilcher as well. But I mean, I think they kind of go to the fact that they're an 11 seed for a reason.
They're not a very good defensive team. They don't turn teams over very often, and that's probably good news for Purdue. So when Purdue does get beat, they turn the ball over quite a bit.
Offensive efficiency and turnover and lack of turnovers, but the problem is the big key is they're going to have to lock down defensively and not show what we saw this past week.
Sure.
It's going to have to be something what we saw in the Big Ten tournament, one of those games.
I didn't think Miami was that bad defensively, especially in the second half.
No,
but
I mean, looking at KenPom, Texas, they're 15th in offense, 81st in defense. Compare that to teams that we've played. Michigan is 6 offense, number 2 defense. Illinois is 2 offense, 24 defense. Iowa State's 17 offense, 5 defense. Michigan State's 22 offense, 30 defense. Alabama's 3 offense, 60 defense. Nebraska's 52 offense, 6 defense. Iowa 25 offense, 31 defense. So obviously a pretty good offensive team. So just as long as you, just
again, have stops and don't let it become a track meet.
Yeah. And just don't play February basketball, late February basketball. Should be all right.
Right.
Not saying it's play like, you know, perfect defense, but yeah, just limit offensive turnovers or offensive rebounds. You know, don't get out of position. out of rotations.
I'm interested to see what the environment is going to be like in San Jose, given this is a 4:10 Pacific time tip off. I know there's a lot of tickets available through Purdue for this game. Texas, I mean, they're more of a football school, of course, than a basketball school. I mean, of course, Arizona's going to probably bring the most fans there in the second game. It's Arkansas. So, I don't know. The environment's going to be interesting, I think. I don't think it'll be like it was in St. Louis. But I'm not saying it's going to be bad. I mean, Purdue still has tons of alums out west. So, hopefully, maybe they'll buy tickets and go. But it'll be interesting.
Yeah, you wonder, like, does Arkansas, do they cheer for their SEC brethren? Or do they not? Arizona, do they want Purdue to win so they can get payback from a couple years ago playing in Indy? Like, I don't know, like, where, you know, the mindset's at for fan bases. But obviously, I'm sure they'd both rather play Texas
right
to get to a Final Four.
Right.
So.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're two wins away from coming back home in Indianapolis and playing in the Final Four. It's pretty crazy to think it could happen. I mean, there's a lot of ball left. I mean, you gotta have to get past two. I mean, Texas, solid team, and then Arkansas and Arizona are another level up. So you're gonna have to get through some good teams to get there. But that's the case for everybody left.
Yeah, you can't get like we were in 2022, where it's like, well, we're playing a 15 seed for the Sweet 16 and potentially getting an eight seed that we already beat already.
We'll never see that again.
Yeah. And thankfully no one on this team was on that team. So it's like, they can't so, and obviously this team knows they can't look past anybody as they've learned. I trust the seniors to have everybody ready. I trust Braden to not have two bad games in a row. I wonder if maybe he was just, that was 11 a.m. game. Maybe just tired. I don't know. It looked like some guys were still waking up. And just from the fact that where we were at, a month ago, are we even going to get out of the first round or first weekend? Are we going to fall to a 5 seed, 4 seed? To be now in the Sweet 16 for the 30th straight year and, the chance to go, like I said, come back home for a Final Four can't ask for much more.
Nope.
Do we get in predictions then? And we can go blind rankings.
I got trivia as well.
Okay.
Let's do it.
22 and lead it off.
Are we doing our game first or are we saving ours for last?
Let's do our game first. What's that for last?
Obviously, yes. 7:10 Eastern time on CBS. Who's announcing this game again?
Jim Jackson. Okay. I don't remember the others.
But obviously, we have 11 seed Texas, 2 seed Purdue. Score prediction, player of the game, spicy bowl prediction.
I think Boilers get the win 78-66. Bowl prediction, Jakari Harris scores in double figures. Ooh. And player of the game, Braden Smith. He has a bounce back. Nice little 15-10 game.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be a little higher scoring game. Purdue 86, Texas 72. Player of the game, in my opinion, I think it's going to be Omer. I think he's going to come off the bench. Probably hit. I think he's going to hit at least 3 threes and get some opportunities at the line. You have probably 12, 13 points, which is going to be huge for bunch production.
Yeah, if he does that, I think Purdue wins. Yeah.
I think his size is going to match up great with they're not small, but they're – he's played pro ball. Pretty much that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bowl prediction, I think – TKR and Oscar Clough will have a double-double.
I like that. My prediction is Purdue 84 to 76. We'll say they maybe hit a shot at the end to maybe make it single digits. Play the game. I'm going to go Oscar Clough. I think, he has a big bounce-back game. The double-double. And bold prediction, Braden has digit assists and 2 or less turnovers.
Yeah, if he does that, I feel good about Purdue's chances too.
Yeah. So. Then I guess who do you have us playing in the next game on Saturday? We have
4-seed Arkansas versus 1-seed Arizona. Obviously, following our game, Arizona was the one seed that I didn't want to see. So I feel like they've been the most consistent out of the, you know, the 4 number one seeds. They've been the most consistent over the year, throughout the entire year. You know, Michigan had a few bowls. And the fact that they're able to get to the Big 12, not only win the conference, but win the tournament as well. I think it's going to be an awesome game. I mean, I wonder how Kentucky fans feel seeing their old buddy Cal, they ran out of town, taking him to another Sweet 16 while they're wanting to fire Mark Pope. But give me Arizona, and I think it's going to be a – I think it's a possession game.
Yeah, one thing about Arkansas is they play no defense, but they can outscore about anybody.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think it's like a 60-40 game, like 60% chance Arizona wins, 40% chance Arkansas. That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't shock me if Arkansas wins. I think they got maybe the best player in the tournament on their team. But I think Arizona gets it done.
I'm going to pick the upset here. I think Cal and Cuff especially signed that deal with Reebok today. Go out there and get it done. That, I don't know how that works actually in college athletics. If he can wear his own apparel, like gear, what team apparel?
That's what Harper and Bailey did last year at Rutgers. They were Nike guys wearing Nike stuff on an Adidas team.
Okay, so I guess president with Reebok can wear it on a Nike team.
Yeah,
I think he goes off, and because I mean the elite company he's passed already in the first two rounds. Of Pat Riley and like stuff that hasn't been broken in a long, long time in SEC's history is just incredible for a true freshman. He's definitely a top five pick in my opinion. And in June's draft, be very interested to see how much he would improve his draft stock and potentially be a conversation behind AJ DeBonza, probably for the second best player in this draft being Darren Peterson, in my opinion, the best. So, actually probably make the Bulls fans happy. Hopefully you can get a lottery pick with him.
Yeah.
Not a Boozer twin at this point. So, so that gives you both matchups, Arizona and Purdue and me, Arkansas and Purdue. I'll go ahead since I'm the lone man out on this one. I think Purdue actually, I think they'll take a lot out of Arkansas to win that game. And I think Purdue will be ready. I mean, being kind of a one-man – not saying a one-man show in Arkansas, but they'll figure out a way to – his shot will be off and driving will be, like, his only thing. And meeting TKR and Club at the Rim is going to be a little bit of a issue. I think Purdue will prevail. I don't know what the score would be, per se. Can't really play – player of the game will probably be Club defensively is what I think. and be cutting down the nets and off to Indy.
God, I hope you're right.
versus Arizona. I think it'd be a good game. I love Arizona. I've watched them a lot. That's probably the team I've watched probably the most outside the Big Ten was Arizona. Bradley, their guard, is awesome. DeLorso is awesome. Not even counting Koa Pete, their freshman phenom, he's awesome. I just think it might be a little too much for Purdue. But I think Purdue would put up a hell of a fight, but I think Arizona would edge out Purdue in the Elite Eight.
I'm right there with you, Evan, unfortunately. And especially if it's a close game, it's going to be painful. I mean, any loss can be painful to say goodbye to these senior classes. Assuming there is a loss, assuming they're not, they don't end it cutting down the nets in Indy. I mean, hope so, but assuming they don't. But yeah, a close loss to a good team like that would really hurt, knowing so close to getting to the Final Four in the home state of Indiana. But I had it in my bracket, Purdue, Arizona, yep. Elite Eight, and have yep. Arizona win it all. That's what my gut tells me. But, hey, I stuck with my gut feeling in the Big Ten tournament, and it worked out in Purdue's favor. So, hopefully I'm doing the same here.
Yep. And then in the South region, what a game. My quarterfinal game in the Big Ten tournament. 9-seed Iowa against 4-seed Nebraska. Who'd have thought? Obviously Nebraska in their first ever Sweet 16 after winning their first two games ever in the tournament, and then Iowa making their first Sweet 16 since 99, 1 year post Fran, who's never been there as a head coach. Ben McCollum, hell of a job, hell of a game against Florida.
Yeah,
that was impressive. Considering the year felt like it was Bennett Sturts and just a cast of others, and if he didn't play well, then nobody played well. But yeah, he went like 0-8 from that game. And just the fact that he kind of didn't play well and I was able to pull out over the winning champ was very, very impressive.
Yep. Definitely Big Ten proved me wrong this past week. My bracket was busted after night one because I thought the Big Ten would show that they were overrated. Who would have thought? The Big Ten has a lock for the Elite Eight, regardless.
Yeah.
So, this matchup, I'm going to take Nebraska, though.
Yeah, I think I am, too. I just think, their offense is just too good for Iowa. Nebraska's playing awesome. That game against Vandy was probably one of the better games of the tournament, if not the best game. The fact that Tyler Tanner's shot, barely was halfway down. One of the craziest shots we've seen in the last 10 years. But obviously Iowa, the stone to hit that at the end. Hold off. They were doing pretty well against Florida. Florida made a comeback, took the lead. Iowa was able to back. I can't believe it. I was cheering hard for Florida because Illinois won't make it. I think the winner of the Illinois-Houston game is the Final Four pick out of the South bracket. Give me Nebraska in that one. I think it's going to be it could be a really fun game just because the teams know each other so well.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you. Can't see you.
Yeah, my camera went out. I'm trying to fix it. I don't know what's going on. I literally just – if everything's plugged in, I don't know what's going on. But, I'm picking Nebraska. Good for their fans. Following them to Oklahoma City, that was an electric environment. Can't believe this is a Sweet 16 matchup. Can't believe either of these teams are two wins away from a Final Four and potentially facing another Big Ten foe in Illinois to get there. But I think Nebraska keeps their historic role going and goes to Elite Eight.
We're all picking Houston this next game, right? We don't need to talk
about it. I think it's going to be the best game of the of the Sweet 16. Elite offense versus elite defense. I just think after seeing Illinois play a team like Michigan, who was really physical, maxed them with size, Illinois really struggled. Unless Illinois is just unconscious, but I don't think Houston will let them do that. Obviously, you got the hometown crowd might play a factor, but I think Houston wins in a really good game.
Yeah, I like Houston, especially at home. I liked them out of this region anyways. And they have to be licking their chops. So,
yeah.
Wish Nance was calling this game.
Yeah.
He'd be loving it.
And then I'll pick Houston or Nebraska to get to the Final Four.
Yeah, I got Houston over either team pretty easily. I got the winner of Houston or Illinois going to the Final Four. So
Then Friday in the East region, 5-seed St. John's takes on 1-seed Duke.
I don't think St. John's can shoot well enough to ultimately win this game. They got dudes on the defensive end and athletes, but I think Duke got their wake-up call in round one, and I think Duke wins.
Yeah.
No.
Great Duke as well.
No, give me the vampire, and I just don't see that Duke team played awful this past weekend.
They did.
And yep. I think Pitino's going to expose that. I think Shire, unless Shire has some other matchups and calling something different, giving him different looks that he's not seeing, I think Pitino, you know, as long as he's been in this game defensively, I think they're going to wreak havoc on them. And I mean, Boozer looked pretty pedestrian against, who is that 16th seed there?
Sienna.
And I was like, this, because, yep, Jerry Mack, you're 100% right. If he didn't run his starters and those players and went sub them out before half, they probably win that game.
Yeah.
Missed a lot of shots around the rim late. So.
Yep. All right, next matchup.
First seed Alabama versus number one Michigan out of the Midwest brackets.
I think Michigan rolls them.
I think Michigan rolls them, yeah.
Rolls the Tide.
And then the other game in the East bracket, 3-seed Michigan State versus 2-seed UConn.
Can they both lose? Is that possible? Can they both lose?
Yeah. UConn playing their second straight Big Ten team in the tournament.
I think UConn wins a tight one, but I could see Michigan State win. It wouldn't shock me, but I think UConn wins.
Point guard U of prevails.
No, don't call him that. Yeah.
Ugh. I'll take him in State too, unfortunately. I think.
Disgusting.
UConn has just been, I mean, they obviously proved me wrong, but I just feel like they've just been so pedestrian for UConn standards this year. I just think, yeah, Michigan State's defense makes it really tough on them. Just their experience prevails as well. Steven Michigan State, and then the last game in the Midwest bracket, 6-seed Tennessee, who's made it for the fourth year. Shout out to Rick Barnes getting that team back versus number 2-seed Iowa State.
Give me the Cyclones. I think they're playing better than anybody in the tournament.
If Jefferson plays, Cyclones.
I think Iowa State wins regardless. Just that defense is suffocating. And they can bomb away too. They got the best of both worlds. So then for the East bracket, Tanner and I have Duke I have Duke versus Michigan State. Tanner has Duke versus UConn. Lynch, you have St. John's versus Michigan State. Who do you got?
I got it. So making another Final Four in Indy.
I got Duke doing what they do and getting to the Final Four in Indy because they usually cut down the nets in Indy. So I got Duke.
Last two championships have been in Indy. Yeah, I'm picking Duke as well. And then at the Midwest, we all have Michigan, Iowa State.
I got the Cyclones. If Purdue can't make the Final Four, nobody in the Big Ten can make the Final Four.
Yep. I'm right there. I think, I just think that's really, I really like this Iowa State team. They're very impressive, and it's about their time to finally break through.
This is where the Kaysaw injury really rears its ugly head, in my opinion.
Yeah, you're right.
And Iowa State, I think, wins this game.
Yep. It'll
definitely be some good games, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of the argument about, like, you know, having the Cinderellas in the Sweet 16 Elite Eight. Like, yes, it's cool, but also, like, it's tough when you've got, like, we've seen St. Mary's versus North Carolina, like in the Elite Eight, and North Carolina just rolls them. Like, we want, you know, as a fan of basketball, we want to see the good games. Like, but yeah, it does suck to not see, like, a mid major make it to the Sweet 16. That's always fun to see.
I think those days are going to be pretty rare now.
Yeah. So, Final Four, we have Iowa State for all three of us, Houston for all three of us. Tanner, you have UConn, right? No, you have Duke. Both of you have Duke. Both you have Duke. And both you have Arizona. And I have Michigan State and Purdue.
Mm-hmm.
Blah.
Yeah.
I like my bracket better. Sorry, guys.
I do too.
I'm the only obvious here. Right?
It's got us. Yeah, I'll take it.
Watch it be Purdue, Tennessee again, which I take. Because, I mean, it's Final Four, but. Watch it.
Yeah.
No way. No way. The Final Four matchup that I'd have, though, oh boy. No. We get rolled again, my opinion.
I'd love another.
I'd
welcome it. I think they get rolled if they do. So With that, I think it's a perfect segue to my blind ranking tonight.
Oh, Lord.
And it is brought to you by Copilot, because I didn't have time. Copilot, use it whenever you don't have time.
So, yeah, I love that. That's good.
Our segment title for this is Boiler Frauds or Boiler Gods. So you're not just ranking these teams, you're exposing whether they were legit contenders or regular season merchants from Purdue's historical basketball Sweet 16s. So I'm giving you five teams of Purdue's. Stop this. This is a segment. It's Copilot, by the way. It's not Aaron. So, anywho, I'm going to give you five teams. Number one, Boiler Gods. Your fifth one will be Certified Frauds. So, okay. Once you place.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Okay. And these are teams that made the Sweet 16, and you had, at that given time, what were you thinking in regards to, hey, they got a legit title shot? Or no, they're lucky to be there.
Okay, that's fair.
Okay? Understood?
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
So, I'm going to go back to – we're going to start with 2018, 2019. Our favorite, you know, lightning in a bottle. The one that Tanner just still thinks about to this day.
Yeah, I do. Because if they get the Final Four, I think they could have won it all. It's crazy how that sounds. But going into the Sweet 16, I didn't know how to feel. I mean, this was still a team that we saw lose the Minnesota Big Ten tournament, but rolled Old Dominion and rolled Villanova, who just won the championship the year before, playing Tennessee. I'm going cop out here. I'm putting them at three because I knew if Carson got hot and hit shots and Klein, which they end up doing against Tennessee, I mean, that's danger, and you can beat anybody. So put them at three.
Yeah, I think I do the same just because at that point, you know, I don't remember 2000. So trying to be like my first team that I remember seeing make the Elite Eight. And going up against a 2-seed Tennessee team that had just absolute dudes on that team with like Admiral Schofield. I can't remember the other guy's name. Played for the Celtics. They had like massive dudes, and we had Carson Edwards, Ryan Clark, Grady Eifert out there. After the game, I'm putting him probably at two. Just seeing Carson go off, but like going to Sweet 16, I'd say three.
Oh man, I wish I had the soundboard for both of you. That would be number one. It was just a straight up heater.
Going into the Sweet 16, I don't know.
They beat Villanova.
Yeah, I mean, it was their six seed.
It doesn't matter. Like, they were a blue blood. We were just at the infancy of what we are today. This is almost a decade ago now. I mean, it's night and day. I mean, we. All right, I'm going to give a little flavor on this next one. You brought up the team, Evan, and I love the hook line that Copilot gave me. Tough, deep, Elite Eight run. Are you overrating grit right now? The 2000 Purdue Boilermakers.
I remember the run, but I was 8 years old.
You all were very young.
They beat.
You had to read it later in life.
Dayton, Oklahoma, Gonzaga, then lost to Wisconsin, who was either an 8 or 9 seed, to get to Indianapolis. I cried after that game as an 8 year old. I didn't even understand the magnitude of what was going on. Brian Cardinal, Juwan Cornell, the McQuays, younger Carson Cunningham, a good roster. My gosh, I don't know where to put this one because there's two others I think you have on the list that I need at 4 or 5. So I'm putting them at 2, I guess. But I was 8 years old, so I don't know how I was feeling. I thought Purdue could take out the world. I thought they could beat the freaking Lakers at the time. I was 8. So. Come on, get back, baby. Post them up.
Knee pads, baby.
You need to write a thing down there that says Tanner's thoughts are his only thoughts there on that one.
8-year-old. Tanner's 8-year-old thoughts are his only thoughts.
For the sake of not cop Tanner, I'll go 4 just because I don't remember it. So
All right. Man, I thought about putting this team that was before our lifetime in here. I really did. But I won't. I won't be that guy. Because we'd all have to phone a friend on this one. All right. So we'll go to the next one. 22 Purdue team. And the hook line here, best offense in America, defense optional. Yeah. TikTok offense, turnstile defense, contender or fake tough?
For this one, I'll go 4. Obviously, I felt good going to the Sweet 16. I'll go five, like you said, they didn't play defense at all. It felt like the only reason why I felt good was because they were going against a 15 seed and potentially an 8 seed. But yeah, I was like, I did not feel great about it. I only felt good just because of the team they were playing. And obviously the lack of defense showed up as well as the turnovers. Like I said, yeah, the offense could be lethal, but yeah, they didn't go with the trends of like the KenPom offense defense. Yeah, I'll put them up.
Okay.
I thought this team was Final Four bound. I thought they were getting past St. Peter's. Then if they were going to go against Carolina, a team they already beat. So I'll put them at 1. I thought they were ready to go. And I felt good coming off that Texas win. Fitting that game's being brought up. But, yeah, I'm putting them at 1 because I hope you have the teams I think you have that I can slot a 4 or 5 here. Probably not going to. So I'm probably going to screw myself over. But let's go.
Nope. Did we lose them?
I think Aaron froze.
Oh, no.
Great.
We're on a time crunch,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, while we're on time crunch, Evan, while we're waiting for Aaron to maybe hop back in, why don't you plug your appearance on this podcast you're going to be doing here in a moment.
Yeah, I'm going to be, shortly after we get done with the podcast, I am going to join Mr. Nick Arvin, who he is a part of Locked On Boilermakers, part of the Locked On Network. True fans might remember me being on the Locked On Illini podcast a couple years ago with Sonny, one of their guys over there. So I'm going to be joining Nick here shortly after we're done. We were supposed to do it last night. I had some stuff come, but so we're doing it tonight. So I appreciate him reaching out to us. I know I was the only one who did make it work. So be on the lookout for Nick's podcast.
Yep. All right. Looking forward to listening. And Aaron's back. So.
Yep. Sorry about that. Internet went down.
All good. Right.
What was the rankings on the last team?
I had them at 1.
Okay. I had 5.
All right. All right. Next one. One that got away. 2009, 2010.
All right. I feel good about my list now. I mean, we were playing without Robbie, but we still had Juwan and Etuan, but you knew Duke was coming up. I'm going to put them at 4, though, hoping that you have another team I can slide in at 5, but I might really regret that. Put them at 4.
I'll put them at 2 just because I was young and dumb and had a lot of blind faith.
I mean, they still had a ton of talent even without Robbie.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah.
And last one, this year's team.
Hell yeah. Number 1, dang baby. It. Let's go. Let's go.
That backfired on me big time.
Is it? And it literally, the hook line says, is it time?
I got to put my 5. I was hoping you were going to throw Edwards, Matthias, and those guys without Haas going in 316. I didn't feel good. I thought you might throw the 09 team in there against to beat. No, I have to go
to the East team playing Kansas and Kansas City.
Yeah. Dang, that backfired on me.
Copilot did a good job, I thought.
Screw you, Copilot. Yeah, it did though. Hey, Webb, yeah, you got trivia real quick before you gotta.
I do. You guys might have seen this. Let me pull it up here. I might actually do an audible and change the question.
Omaha.
Did you guys see Cobra's stat about Painter's 500 wins?
I did not.
No, did not.
Sunday's win gave Matt Painter his 500th career win. And Cobra stats on Twitter put out a really cool graphic of all the teams that Painter has beaten to get to 500. I was going to ask you, I guess I'll ask you, but I thought it might be too obvious. What team has Painter beat the most? And how many of those wins? And how many times? It's a Big Ten team.
Duh. Yeah. Right. It's been at Purdue, what, 22 years?
Since what, 05, yeah.
22. Penn State, and I'm going 17. No, not 17. No. I'm going Penn State with, because sometimes we played them twice, Penn State with 27. I don't know.
Okay.
It'd have to be original Big Ten. So that eliminates Nebraska, Rutgers, Maryland, the new four teams. It had to be a team that was always scheduled twice as well.
Actually?
That's a good question. I like this question.
My heart really wants to say IU, but I know it's not. I'm going to say Minnesota.
How many times?
I'm going to say 19.
Okay. Tanner got the team, Penn State.
Okay.
With 32 victories.
Darn.
You guys want to take a stab at who's second?
Northwestern, maybe, then?
We've lost them a lot lately, it seems like.
Okay. There's two teams tied for second, I should say. With 25 victories.
I'm going with Iowa.
Iowa? Do you want to take a stab at the other team, too?
Iowa and Northwestern.
Okay.
I'll say Minnesota Northwestern.
It is Iowa Northwestern.
Ooh,
and then the next two are tied at 23 with Indiana and Minnesota. Can you guess the team that Painter's beat the least?
Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
16. Rutgers at 15. Maryland at 11. It's Penn State 32, Iowa 25, Northwestern 25, Indiana 23, Illinois 21, Michigan 19, Wisconsin 19, Michigan State 18, Nebraska 17, Ohio State 16, Rutgers 15, Maryland 11.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, Webby, real quick, I'll have you do the read for the shop, and then you can get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're watching, you notice I've got a new piece of gear on. I got from the shop. I actually bought it online. They had a deal going on the other day. They've been making hometown apparel since 2011. Starting in the garage, and I've got three retail locations. And brought one in Carmel, one in downtown Indy. If you're in Indianapolis, hopefully next weekend for a big game against a team that shall be named later, stop on by, pick up some gear. So I picked up the Boiler Script sweatshirt online. They were running a deal the other day. Had to get it. I got a nice 15% off. They're always running deals. Super soft, clothes fit well, look great, feel great. But if you're gonna shop online, go to shopindy.com. Use promo code breakdown and get free shipping.
I like how it's Purdue B-ball and then March Memories is the other school has memories in it.
They are making memories. They're sending the trophies on a road show throughout the state. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh.
I saw it's coming through here sometimes. So, but go get yourself all-time assist Keen Braden Smith t-shirt. It's got the Script Purdue logo on it. Use promo code breakdown for free shipping, like Webby said. So,
I got a dip.
Yep. See you, Evan. Thanks.
Thank you.
See you guys.
All right, Lynch. And that leaves us to pay one more bill.
Yeah, one more bill here. And actually, this is perfect. It's a Friday night game. It's West Coast, unless you're getting tickets to go out there.
Thursday night.
I'm starting the weekend early. I don't know what day it is.
That's fine. Start the weekend early. Let's go.
Anywho, if you're not going to head out to the game, head to Mad Butch. Perfect opportunity. I need to check. Are they running anything for the game on Thursday?
Let me check. I bet they are.
While you're doing that, Boiler Breakdown is brought to you, as always, by Mad Mush, serving Boilermakers since 93. Mad Mush is located in the heart of West Lafayette and is well known as the home of the original cheese stick. But whenever any of the Boiler Breakdown crew is in town, we like to sit down, have an ice cold beer, and try out the latest pizza of the month, which is, we're still for one more week, Rob's Crispy Bourbon Chicken topped with crispy chicken and bourbon sauce with onion, celery, mozzarella cheese, and finished with toasted sesame seed. So next time you're in town, order online, use the promo code BREAK526 for $5 off any order over 20. If that BREAK526 does not work, use BREAK5. It has worked before. But you can only use the code online. Do not try to go up to the counter or using that code. They will reject you. So
yeah,
are they running something on Thursday?
I have not seen, nothing's on their social media, but that doesn't mean they might be and just haven't posted it yet. So
this is like a perfect opportunity at dinner time too. Stop it. Get cheese sticks, get a pizza of the month, get a grinder.
Yeah.
Can't get beer to go. So
no, you can't go wrong with anything on their menu. So
absolutely can't. Mad Mush, feed your head.
Yep. Absolutely. All right, Aaron. Well, let's boil up, hammer down, beat the Longhorns, then either the Razorbacks or Wildcats, and get back to Indianapolis in the Final Four.
Let's get back to a third weekend, two times in 3 years. That'd be incredible.
That would be incredible. You said it. So hopefully next week we'll be recording no matter what, but hopefully recording a Final Four preview show and not a season recap show. But either way, look for us next week on Facebook, YouTube, and all audio podcast platforms. So hit that like button, subscribe button, follow button, all that good stuff if you haven't already at Boiler Break Pod.
We can cover football next week.
We can talk about football next week. Yep, boil up, hammer down.